Please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, as you may have figured out because you are listening to it on a podcast, we are sharing some of these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, cat-on-your-keyboard-worthy, home-office-worthy, I'm-cleaning-the-kitchen-again-worthy podcast. Today is Thursday, April 9th, 2020.
And here are today's top solutions. Tips for staying informed, not overwhelmed, while reading the news from the education section on the Optimist Daily. If you find yourself reading the news more often during times of crisis, that's because news sources have actually become a part of our flight or fight instinct. They provide us with the information we need to make decisions about how to ensure our livelihood, but how do you stay educated without letting the inundation of news overwhelm you? Reading accurate, unbiased news sources is important for staying up to date on critical happenings around the world. And shutting yourself off from reality isn't the solution. On the other hand, overconsumption of news can push your stress levels into overdrive. So here's how to limit your news intake effectively. First of all, there's no right amount of news intake, but managing the time you spend reading or watching the news and the sources you focus on will help you be a more efficient news absorber. Consider setting a timer for yourself, maybe 20 minutes or up to an hour, to focus on learning about what's going on in the world. Choose a few key reliable news sources to focus on and then dig in. Consider taking other physical steps, like removing your phone from your bedroom when you're sleeping and your desk when you're working, to limit getting drawn into those tempting notifications. Choosing what time to read the news can also be impactful. Over breakfast, during your lunch break, or in the evening when you finish work are all great options. Last week, we discussed better sleep habits, and reading distressing news right before bed isn't one of them. Reading the news can be distressing even when there isn't a pandemic sweeping the globe. So how much and what type of news you take in is a personal decision. But if you find yourself stressed out about current events, consider altering your media habits to be more efficient and practical. The solution is not to cut out news altogether, but be smarter about how you interact with those media outlets. Check out our article on theoptimistdaily.com for more information and for ways on how to spot misinformation online, to vet your sources, and to also be strategic about how and when you open up that news app or turn on the television.
So, Christy, yesterday, one of my family members was needing to be reminded that the news is overwhelming and that you kind of have to turn it off and that you have to check out of the news. And I felt like you're Optimist Daily commercial girl, because my answer was, I have a solution for that, but it's true. And this article is almost promotional for the Optimist Daily in the sense that really this is why we exist, so that we can have positive news and we can help people vet through the chaotic amount of information that is coming online. So
absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, 30 years ago, you got your news maybe once in the evening or once in the morning with the newspaper. Now you have the 24-hour news cycle. Even though there is a need right now to get information, so much of it is driven by sensationalized reporting that it's like it gets into your bloodstream, that mania. So you have to be intelligent on how you consume that, just like you have to be intelligent on how you consume too much sugar or too much fat.
Yep, exactly. Well, thank you for reading that story. I will be moving us into the health section of the Optimist Daily today. Why group testing helps us make the most out of limited COVID-19 tests. When it comes to coronavirus testing, the problem is simple. There are too many people to test and too few kits to test them with. That's why researchers across the world are having to improvise. One promising technique is group testing, in which multiple people are testing at once. Group testing, also known as pool testing, is a technique that has been around since World War II, when the U.S. Army first employed it to suss out syphilitic soldiers. Rather than pay for each soldier to undergo a costly test, officials would combine blood samples from a group of soldiers and then test that joint sample. If the test came back negative, all men could be assumed free of the disease. If it came back positive, the Army could test the soldiers in that group individually to find the one or more with syphilis. Now, researchers in the United States, Israel, and other nations are employing the technique to the coronavirus outbreak, and they're finding the method to be incredibly effective. On March 24th, Peter Ewen, director of Nebraska's Public Health Lab, began using group coronavirus testing as a way to save valuable time and supplies. He split 60 samples into 12 groups of five before testing and found he was able to effectively identify all of the positive samples in the group using 24 kits instead of the usual 60. That's far more efficient than the usual case-by-case testing. During a group coronavirus testing trial in Israel, meanwhile, researchers tested up to 64 samples at once, and if even one sample in the group was positive, the test was able to detect it. Based on these results, implementing group coronavirus testing on a wide scale could allow nations to dramatically increase the number of people they test.
Yeah, and this is essential, Summers, because not having massive testing is one of the reasons that we haven't been able to make more progress, I think, in really combating and stopping and controlling the spread of the coronavirus. Right now, this is a really interesting story, and I like that. I like knowing that this is out there.
I had no idea this was out there until I turned on today's solutions this morning, and there it was. I love this. This is great news.
Yeah. So moving to a whole different era right now, although it is sort of related to the coronavirus outbreak that we're seeing, from the design section, we're going back to college, and college students are recreating their campuses on Minecraft. Many college students are finding themselves back at home after universities across the country canceled in-person classes and postponed or moved graduation ceremonies online. That's why some students are turning to an unusual platform to reconnect with the campuses that they called home, Minecraft. Students from the University of Pennsylvania, Berklee School of Music, and Oberlin College are using the online virtual reality gaming platform to create one-to-one replicas of their schools. Once the campuses are complete, these online schools can serve as social hubs for students and even host club meetings and events that would take place. The project offers a chance for students separated by social and physical distance to reconnect by collaborating to build these structures. The time-intensive process of building a virtual college is also a creative way to fill in the extra time that students may find they have on their hands. Minecraft was released in 2011 and allows users to create landscapes and design buildings of all different types, as well as explore the creations of others. U.S. college students aren't the only ones taking advantage of the program in the age of COVID-19. Japanese elementary school children also use the platform to design a virtual commencement ceremony for themselves. Although an online college may not be able to recreate the real feeling of strolling across campus with your fellow students, a Minecraft version of these beloved spaces gives students the opportunity to express themselves creatively and establish a virtual connection to the schools and schoolmates that they cherish.
That's a darling story, and I am going to encourage my children to recreate their high school campus. I know that there are kids all across the world who are mourning the loss of their graduations and other events that they really were ready to celebrate as the culmination of the school year arrived. So this story just makes me feel good, and I think it'll make a lot of kids feel good to be able to do something like this. So
yeah, it's a neat solution.
Okay, we're going to go back to the health section of the Optimist Daily. Magnetic brain stimulation offers new hope for patients with depression. Treating severe depression is extremely difficult, with remission rates usually being quite shaky. But a new study from Stanford University School of Medicine promises new light at the end of the tunnel. Named Stanford Accelerated Intelligent Neuromodulation Therapy, or more simply, SAINT, the treatment is a new form of magnetic brain stimulation that has successfully relieved symptoms of severe depression in 90% of participants in one small study. Before undergoing the therapy, all 21 study participants were severely depressed, according to several diagnostic tests for depression. Afterward, 19 of them scored within the non-depressed range. What's more, though, all of the participants had suicidal thoughts before therapy, and none of them reported having suicidal thoughts after therapy. Magnetic brain stimulation as a form of treatment is not new in itself, but so far it had an average remission rate of only 48%, and it required patients to go through 6 weeks of daily sessions. After making some modifications related to the number of electric pulses and the focused area receiving them, the researchers found the treatment took only 3 days on average for participants to report relieved symptoms of depression. 1 month after the therapy, 60% of participants were still in remission. Follow-up studies are underway to determine the duration of antidepressant effects. The researchers plan to study the effectiveness of SAINT on other conditions such as obsessive compulsive disorder, addiction, and autism spectrum disorders. I think this is a very interesting study. And, you know, we did our neurodiversity theme week just about a year ago, and really recognizing that ways to manage some of the negative elements of a neurodiverse experience versus just to numb them with drugs is such a neat way that researchers are pursuing new opportunities in health and brain management.
Absolutely. And another advocate for mental health issues, Lady Gaga, this is from our next story, from our arts section. In our final story today, Lady Gaga raises $35 million to help WHO fight coronavirus. In a bid to support the World Health Organization's COVID-19 response efforts, Lady Gaga has helped raise $35 million in 1 week after reaching out to corporate leaders and philanthropists. According to the pop star, the money will go towards global personal protection equipment, or PPE, and testing kits, as well as improving lab capacity to process the tests. Gaga also announced that she is partnering with the WHO, an advocacy organization, Global Citizen, to launch a virtual festival called One World Together at Home, aimed at uniting the world through music in the fight against the pandemic. The televised concert will air at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on April 18th and will feature dozens of stars, including Paul McCartney, Elton John, Billie Eilish, Lizzo, and Stevie Wonder. Gaga and her collaborators hope the concert will bring attention to all of the positive initiatives occurring in the world right now as well. The event is not considered a fundraiser because the funds have already been raised, but rather it's a celebration of the power of the human that the pandemic has brought to light. And this is a beautiful way to end this. I love the idea that we're ending with a celebration, and I look forward to tuning in when this happens.
I will be there as well, and we will raise our glasses in celebration of the power of human spirit, because it is alive and well, and even though we're all far away from one another, we are still a community, and we are going to get through this. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be a part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thanks, Christy. Thanks, everyone. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you, Summers. See you tomorrow.